Hello and welcome to the True Faith free weekly show. We are sponsored by our patrons who pay £5 a month for loads of really good extra content. So if you're not one, do think about joining us. We do all sorts of stuff. I'm not even going to go into it. It's that good. And we're also in partnership with FansBet. So take a look at their website. All sorts of betting that with 50% of the profits go back into fan-based projects, which is really cool. I'm Charlotte Robson. I'm joined today by Chris Shipman.
Hello.
Rob Clothier.
Clothier. Yeah, I know everyone gets that wrong. Good morning.
Sorry. And Andy Ballard.
Morning, everyone.
Andy is the happiest, sprightliest, most Sunday morning person you've ever heard.
I love it.
So we are going to be discussing Newcastle's 1-0 defeat at Wembley to Spurs yesterday. Obviously a disappointing result after such a great week. It's all relative, but felt like a great week. Big win against City and then, you know, managed to get some people through in the last day of this transfer window. So I'll just go straight into it. Andrew, what was the atmosphere like? How you went to the game? Talk a little bit about that.
So it was a bit of a, I thought it was a bit of a weird atmosphere because Spurs have basically topped off most of the upper deck of Wembley. So I think there was possibly just above the dugouts, there was probably about 30 or 40 fans. But apart from that, it was completely empty. So it kind of felt a bit weird. It felt any more like a pre-season game or like an exhibition match, because their fans just didn't show up and then also didn't make any noise basically for the entire game. I understand there's some sort of frustration from their fans' point of view at the minute, because they've been promised this new ground and literally they're not going to get it this season, but they've all paid their season ticket money. So there's a bit of distressed. Is that a word? That's not a word.
No, but we know what you mean.
Disgruntled about that situation, but it sort of led towards a very, very weird atmosphere. And I think with it being an early kickoff as well, possibly maybe some of their fans didn't fancy trekking across to Wembley, which is really quite a pain in the arse to get to, and even more of a pain in the arse to get away from. So that was a bit of a strange atmosphere. The Newcastle fans were brilliant, obviously, as you'd expect. There was a lot of noise coming from the away end. There was a new song in Let's Get Ready to Rondon, which I haven't quite decided whether I like or not yet.
Certainly gets stuck in the head.
Oh, it's been stuck in my head since yesterday. I've failed to shake it. So that was good, and it was obviously a very positive atmosphere amongst Newcastle fans before, because I think a lot of people will share the same sentiment I had, which was, you know, we've had a very good week, and anything here was an absolute bonus. So it was almost as if the pressure was off of our fans, and it was a bit more of a relaxed atmosphere from us. But overall, a bit of a strange game to be at, to be honest.
Yeah, Chris, what did you think?
Yeah, I think I'd echo exactly what Andy just said. The kind of top tier of Wembley being kind of largely shut was, was a bit kind of, well, pathetic, really. And I think indicative of the kind of malaise that Spurs fans seem to have about the club. One thing I did quite enjoy about that was there were a kind of smattering of people in one of the sides of the stadium in the top tier. I don't know if they were friends or family or something, but they had the kind of whole bowl, top bowl of the stadium to sit in, and there was one kind of pairing of people that had decided, given all the space, that they would kind of sit really far apart when they had the whole stadium to kind of sit in, which I found quite entertaining.
I noticed things like that. It's so weird. People with like seat rows and rows and rows in front of them,
yeah,
like still walking up the steps and sitting alone.
Now we know how the Macams feel.
No, they have actually properly red seats at Wembley. So,
Yeah, I agree. I really hated that it was 12:30. Like, that really annoyed me. And I think it stopped a lot of... not a lot, because we were out there in force, but I know it was more difficult for people to get down from Newcastle if they were just doing the day trip. I mean, that's a very early start if you're going to get to Wembley for 12:30 kickoff. Rob, what did it look like on the telly? I know you were watching from home.
Yeah, it was good game. It was all you could hear was the Newcastle fans. The away end was loud as usual when it's on TV, but particularly I think because of the, like you were just saying, the lack of atmosphere from the home fans particularly made it sound, it sounded like it was at St James's Park. It was so loud, and it was fantastic to hear that the support that our team gets. You know, I mean, having been to many games away now, it's fantastic to see it. But when it's on TV, we had people tweeting us yesterday saying all you could hear was Newcastle fans and things like that, and it's great. It must be fantastic for the players to be on the pitch and have that backing. And it's exactly what Rafa wants, isn't it? He always says he wants the support from the fans and get it at every single away game. So yeah, it sounded fantastic, and looks like you guys must have had a great day there.
Yeah, it was good.
Did they raise it on the telly that the Spurs fans just hadn't shown up? And towards the end of the game as well, they had their, I mean, Newcastle fans get made fun of for this, but they all had their bed sheets out with stuff written on it.
Right.
The end of the game as well. I don't know whether
I didn't hear much said, like, but they did comment at the beginning that it was a particularly low attendance, and they did say about what you said earlier about the difficulty getting to the ground, and maybe there is a little bit of disgruntledness, or what did you say? Disrest.
Disrest. There's a lot of disrest.
Sunday the 3rd of February, I've invented a word.
So. Very good.
I don't know what you guys have achieved
so far. It's literally on record now, so.
Come for the podcast, stay for the word coinage.
I would just say unrest, but you know.
That's probably
all right. We'll. We're not getting into vocabulary wars today.
Okay, let's read that in a
minute. Yeah, I will move on in a second, but how quiet their fans were was astonishing to me. Like, we'll talk a bit about the goal in a little while, but when they scored, I was so surprised at the noise they made, because I was like, they probably just politely clap and leave. Like, it was like nothing.
A lot of them did leave when the goal went in.
I know, it's that is true.
It's terrible.
It's like, right, we've got like, the goal. Newcastle probably aren't going to score. See you later.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll move on to the game. We've set the atmosphere. We're all at Wembley. It's a beautiful thing. Dubravka. Now, I have only watched this back once because it's a bit painful, but that was a fairly awful mistake, I think, to let that goal in. Rob, do we think, are we worried? It's a second mistake. I think Man U, obviously, there was a bit of a clanger. Does it worry you that he's letting in goals that easy, or what?
I wouldn't say it worries me. I mean, I think the way you have to look at it is, he's going to win us a lot more points than he's going to lose us, and that's what a lot of people seem to understand. And if we'd started the season without him in our squad, we'd undoubtedly be in the bottom three. And if we had Darlow, Elliot or Woodman as our first choice, or if they were all sort of competing for that first place keeper spot without Dubravka in the squad, I'm pretty sure we'd be in the bottom three. So he's allowed the odd error here and there because, you know, I mean, obviously those are big errors because they've cost us, you know, points. But I think the impact that he's had overall since coming into our team is very, very noticeable and very positive. He marshals the defence very, very well, which is something that's really noticeable when you watch the games. You know, he's constantly talking to the back four or five or whatever you want to call it. He just looks like a very commanding presence, and it is unfortunate that he's made those two errors. And I mean, that one yesterday was particularly disappointing because we were having a positive week and we were looking like we were going to get a point at Wembley, but just wasn't to be. And I know we'll probably come on to whether we did or didn't deserve a point, but you know, it's just a shame really. But yeah, I think I'm not worried. He's going to continue to be a positive for our team.
Andy, how do you feel about it?
I just think it's unfortunate. It's one of those things that happens. I mean, you've got to remember, I think we signed Dubravka from, he wasn't even starting for, was it Prague we bought him for? We got him for like 1.5 million, and the amount that we've gotten out of him, as Rob says, he's more than paid back his transfer fee. And I guess to some level, maybe you should expect for like a £1.5 million goalkeeper to probably make mistakes at some stage. it's really unfortunate because he has been so superb, and I think he's got enough credit in the bank with Newcastle fans that people aren't going to start getting on his back. I've been trying to think of reasons for why it might have happened, and I think I've come up with one. I don't really remember them testing Dubravka much throughout the game, and I basically don't remember them testing him in the second half at all, really. Now, it was an extremely cold day, and Dubravka, although having to be aware, hasn't actually really had to make a save, and I think I'm going to blame the cold weather on it. I think he was just a bit cold. He's been caught literally cold. That shot's just come out of him and he's killed it. I think it's unfortunate, but I don't think it's a reflection of him as a goalkeeper overall. I think it's just a bad one. These things happen. They happen to people like De Gea as well, to be fair, so it doesn't...
Yeah.
It doesn't trouble me. I'm not losing any sleep over it. You'll come back stronger for the next game.
Yeah. Chris, anything else to add to that?
Yeah, I think, you know, the best keepers in the league, quite a few of them have had kind of howlers this season. If you kind of look back a month or so, Alisson at Liverpool, you know, obviously, you know, they're kind of running away with it at the moment at the top. You know, he had a couple of howlers. It's just what happens. And I think, you know, his kind of mental strength, and that's something that Rafa clearly kind of prizes in the players that he signs. You would hope that his mental strength means that he'll bounce back. As Andy says, you know, I'm not going to lose too much sleep over it. Yeah, I think as Rob says, you know, he will kind of save us more points than he loses us. So yeah, I still totally back him, and I still think he's fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's the sentiment on Twitter and socials as well. Like, that sort of soundbite, isn't it, that he's winning us more points than he's losing us. And I think, you know, as well, it's probably worth noting that Spurs had a couple of chances earlier on, like, and he's not let those in. Like, I think we would have a much higher goal difference if it wasn't for Dubravka, and I would hate for lower, well, you know what I mean, and I would hate for that. I'm getting very emotional about it. I think it's because it's Sunday morning. I would hate for anyone to judge him on
Come
that
on,
one.
Let's get a heartfelt monologue here about just leave my Dubravka alone.
Oh my god, it's like leave Britney alone.
He saved so many
one.
Goals.
He's so good and tall. Anyway, you see how I feel. Okay, so then with that in mind and the goal in mind, obviously it was like 80 something minutes. We were nearly at the 0-0 full time, nearly got a point. Chris, were we unlucky or do you think we deserved a point?
I think it can be definitely argued. I mean, Andy highlighted the wastefulness that Spurs had. Their 21 shots and 4 on target, and I think that's reflective of some real defensive endeavour. Fabian Schär in particular, all defence had a really good game, but Fabian Schär I thought was fantastic, and the way that he, you know, he cleared one off the line, and he kind of, his marking was fantastic. So I mean, I think, you know, if anyone was going to win it was probably going to be Spurs, but I think it can be argued that we were kind of in the hunt for a point. And the fact that kind of, you know, Rondon, you know, let's not forget, got close as well, hitting the woodwork. I think, you know, it could have on another day been 0-0 or 1-1.
Rob?
I think Spurs deserved to win just purely because of the chances that they created. That they had some really good chances from crosses in the box in the first half, which were completely wasted. They hit the woodwork a couple of times, and I just felt from where I was watching on the TV, Son looked like he was going to have a good game. He looked so threatening early on in the game. He was really on it, and he just looked like he was going to score at some point during the match, which obviously ended up happening. And I just sort of felt early on that if we could get a point, it was going to be a very good point.
Yep. Andy?
So we were unlucky in the sense that Dubravka doesn't make those mistakes every single week. So that's unlucky. But on the other hand, Newcastle United are very, very good at last-ditch defending. We do a lot of clearing stuff off the line, get just throwing bodies in the way of stuff, and we do concede a lot of chances. And as Rob says, they only got four on target, but 21 shots is quite a lot, and I'd love to know how many of them were just like people like themselves just hoying their body in front of it. And kind of because we lack quality in the side, we end up in these situations where we have to have these last-ditch tackles and saves on the line and such like. So inevitably there's only so long you can get away with that, and I think it's unlucky in the sense that the Son one was a fairly innocuous shot, but there was they had plenty of other opportunities, and they were sort of peppering our goal, and there was a lot of pressure on the side, so there's an element of it was always coming, it was just how long could we hold on for. So yeah, the goal was unlucky, but overall, you know, the goal was probably inevitable at some stage.
So I think probably Spurs deserved it very just, because even though they were putting the pressure on our side and we were playing really like deep for most of the game and first half, I think we still managed to keep them out. And so, like, for most of the game, so I was like, well, can't we have 1 point from this? I sort of think we deserved 1 point. But,
I think we definitely deserved a point, but whether... Well, yeah, okay, I don't know what I'm going to say there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm clutching at straws slightly. And I think, you know, when you put it into perspective, if you think about... Our week, like, we would have been happy if you started the week with, like, thinking we were going to get 2 points out of Spurs and City. We've got three, so I mean, that's a good week for us. So yeah, all right, well, we'll keep talking. We were in a 5-point cushion in the relegation battle ahead of this game, obviously bolstered by our win on Tuesday. We have gone back to two. Do we feel like the weekend's results were good? How do we feel we all are, you know, going forward? Andrew, I'm going to come to you.
I think we're still in a pretty good position. I think we were always going to get a reaction from Cardiff this weekend, playing at home, given the sort of the emotions run the level they are at that club, and I think that's, you know, that's obviously had an effect on their performance this weekend. I think it's meant that they've come out fighting. But from our perspective, we've got through now Spurs and City, where, as you say, we probably most Newcastle fans expected us to come out with nothing. We've come out with 3 points. We've now got Arsenal away and Liverpool at home left of the sort of top six sides left to play, and we've got a fairly decent run coming up. You know, I think we've got Huddersfield at home, we've got Wolves away, Wolves are one of the most overrated sides in the Premier League at the minute. I mean, people getting carried away saying they're the best team ever to be promoted have just totally forgotten the fact that Newcastle finished third in their first season in the Premier League. But you know, we don't like to brag on this podcast.
We don't need to.
Yeah. You know, and then we've got teams like West Ham, and you know, we've got, in theory, easier games to come now, and I think bringing in Bareka and Almiron especially is going to be a boost to the players. And I think even though we've lost yesterday, I think there's still a bit of momentum hanging over from the City game. I think the belief is back in there, and I think the players yesterday will feel it was unfortunate that you know, we've lost 1-0 to Dubravka mistake goal. It's not like we've been peppered 3 or 4-0 by, you know, a regular Champions League side these days. So I'm optimistic. We've got a bit of a cushion. I think I think Cardiff, between now and the end of the season, won't pick up enough points, and I think Fulham and Huddersfield are more or less doomed.
Huddersfield, there's no, I don't know how they can't come back, I don't think.
I think they've accepted their fate as well. I think this sounds coming out from the club themselves. I mean, I don't think they really strengthened in January. So I'm feeling pretty confident, to be honest. I mean, we've got good games going up, and why not? We're on a similar points total to this this time last year, and we finished 10th. So
that's true.
If we string some results together, who knows? Europe's calling.
Rob? Europe's calling. Rob?
Yeah, I'm the same. I'm very confident about staying up now, and I think once we get Almiron into the side and up and running, that's going to give us a new sort of dimension to our play, and I think it's gonna mean we'll be able to play a bit higher up the pitch, and it'll just give the opposition a little bit more to think about defensively against us, because most teams who are playing up against us at the minute know how we're going to set up very defensively, and if we get him into the team with a bit of attacking threat, then I think that's going to it's only going to benefit us. So yeah, I'm feeling very confident, and looking at the teams currently below us, I think we're certainly going to pick up more points than they are.
I think the one thing that might derail us is that we've still got quite a threadbare squad, and I think particularly if Rondon was to pick up a serious injury, that would be an absolute disaster for us, because I don't even want to think about Hosslu starting games for us in the Premier League anymore. It's just like, it just terrifies us. But barring any serious injury to Rondon, I think we'll be fine.
Okay, and Chris, what do you think?
I don't know about worried, but I definitely didn't expect Cardiff to pick up that result yesterday, especially given how kind of brilliant Bournemouth were earlier in the week. That said, I don't think they're going to be capable of kind of turning that kind of result out week in, week out. They have a kind of mixed bag of kind of teams in the running, but yeah, we'll see. So yeah, I think we'll probably be okay, but maybe not quite as confident as you guys are.
Yeah, and from my perspective, I think we'll be all right. We're scrappy little fighters, and I think, you know, the Rondon point is a really good point, and not one I'd really considered, so that's something that I don't want to think about.
It's just been but so crucial. You've seen against Manchester City, like, how good he can be. Even yesterday, the amount he battles, and for a team that we've played so deep and he's so isolated, to do as much as he does do is pretty remarkable. And it's quite frustrating that we've not signed him permanently, because I think obviously Spurs are going to be in the market for someone, and I think he'd be ideal for them. Someone to come in when Harry Kane's not around, I think they'd be mad to pass up an opportunity to take him.
Okay, a quick bonus question. I suspect I know what people are going to say, because I know what I'm going to say. But we saw Bareka come on yesterday, got a bit of a run out. Did anyone feel... I mean, what do you... Rob, what did that look like on telly? Did it look like he was, you know, making much of an impact, or was it just really just a bit of a run out for him?
Well, what was noticeable was when he came on, I think it was like the 86th minute or something, he was essentially a left winger. He was so high up the pitch and literally hugging the touchline, and you know, he didn't get much of a look in, did he, in the last 5 minutes? But I think towards the end, Rafa's obviously put him on in the hope that he's going to maybe create something as a from the left side, but his opportunity never really came, to be honest. So yeah, he didn't really have much of a chance. So
he didn't have a
game.
Lot of time, to be fair. But no. Chris, is there?
Yeah, so I mean, I guess while he plays on the left side of defence, we know that, you know, from reports, his kind of game is more attack minded, much like Yedlin, kind of mirroring the right side. And obviously, Paul Dummett, fantastic defender, but I mean, not so good going forward. So I think he gives us an extra option in terms of if we're chasing a game. Obviously, he needs to kind of get up to speed with how Rafa does things. But I think, you know, if that game was happening, a month down the line, and you know, we conceded it earlier, I could see kind of Rafa bringing him on earlier. I think one of the positives of having him in the squad is obviously that he's going to be given competition, not just for the left back slot for Paul Dummett, but also kind of further up the pitch, and that can only be a good thing. We've been crying out for a left back for so long, but any competition which kind of pushes the likes of Atsu or Kennedy to kind of improve their performances can only be a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with that. I think it's a slightly unfair question for me, because he only got 8 minutes on the pitch, really. But I just thought it was, you know, it was good to see one of our new signings. Obviously, Almiron couldn't play yesterday. He hasn't had his work authorization. I thought it was, yeah, it was good. Well, I think that sort of sums up where we are, how we're doing. Obviously, a bit of a disappointing result from Cardiff, but I think Newcastle are very much within a good chance. Chris isn't as convinced, but, you know, that's okay. He's our resident pessimist. and that is it. We have plenty of other podcasts coming out on Patreon this week. We will be doing a Wolves preview. We're doing our very popular As It Was When It Was, looking back at a Wolves away fixture or two, and as well as loads of other stuff. So if you've enjoyed this, do consider, or just do subscribe to our Patreon content. And thank you very much for listening. We will see you next time.